B-Pod Studios.
On the line with us right now, without further ado, the general manager of your Philadelphia Phillies, Matt Klentak. Matt, good morning.
Good morning. What's happening, guys?
I'll tell you what's happening. How you doing, sir? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm a little cold outside, but I'm fine otherwise.
What's taking so long, man? What is taking so long, man?
We are jumping right into it, huh?
Yes, yes. It's been 89 days.
Yeah, I know. I assume you're talking about free agent market. I think, you know, what's interesting about it, though, is, you know, especially now, like there's been a flurry of guys signing. Obviously, the top, there's a couple of top guys that are still out there, as we all know. But I think the free agent market's kind of steadily coming along. And, you know, we kind of have to look back to last year a little bit. And, you know, remember Arrieta, we didn't sign Arrieta till the middle of March. And J.D. Martinez signed in spring training, and Eric Hosmer signed in spring training. And I don't know if this is the new normal or what it is exactly, but you know, it's not unprecedented that some of the top free agents are waiting a little longer than they might have, you know, 5 or 10 years ago. So just like every year, we have to adjust to markets, and markets will develop for their own reasons, and we just need to be in a position to react accordingly.
Matt, what are the Phillies in right now? What state are you guys in? Have the pitches been made and you're just waiting for the decisions and then counteroffers? What kind of area are we in? And you know the two names in particular that we can't mention, but you know what we're talking about.
Yes,
what state are we in right now?
So, I mean, look, we were pretty open and public about our meetings with, I can say their names, with Machado and Harper.
Yeah.
You know, we had Manny in here in late December, right before Christmas, and we went to visit Bryce in early January in Las Vegas. And, you know, that's kind of been the extent of what we've publicized, as you know. But those were both really good meetings and, you know, gave us a chance to ask some questions of the players and gave the players an opportunity to learn about the organization and just spent two good days with those guys. And now, yeah, I mean, there's ongoing dialogue with their representatives, and, you know, I'm pretty sure that the representatives are talking to other teams as well. And I don't know exactly what's going to, you know, cause one or both of them to sign and move to resolution. But, you know, as I said earlier, different markets will develop for different reasons. And, you know, what I'm happy about, and you never know this going in, but we got jumped out pretty aggressively in our offseason, you know, starting with that Seattle trade, which is really the platform for the rest of our offseason. That opened up left field. We were able to sign McCutchen. We were able to add to the bullpen in a few different transactions. So we didn't wait around. And so we've addressed a lot of the things that we felt like we needed to address. And that puts us in a position now to play the market and not feel like we need to force anything. So anyway, that's where we're
at. Speaking with Matt Klentak, Phillies GM. So Matt, as we sit here today, would you say that you're confident one of these guys are going to end up coming here, Machado or Harper or both? How do you feel about your standings right now with them? Would you say you're confident that they could come here?
That's a good question. I don't know if I know the answer to that. Really, you know, we only know half the equation, which is sort of the conversations we're having. I don't know what's happening with others. I can tell you this. I feel very confident that we've put a really strong foot forward, both with our presentations to these guys and the way that we've, you know, welcomed them to Philly or kind of told them about the franchise when we went out to see Harper. I feel really good about that. The pitches that we've made, you know, I know we know these agents, both of them really well. We have good relationships with them. So, you know, the dialogue, the communication's been good. And, you know, that's probably the extent of how I can answer that. You know, obviously a lot of this will come down to dollars and cents. We know that. But I feel good about, you know, the pitches that we've made to both guys.
So is it fair to say that offers have been made to both?
You know what? That's something that I've been resistant to answer all offseason. I just don't know that that's in the best interest of the franchise to sort of disclose if we've made offers or when we made them or how many we've made or what the dollars are. It just really doesn't benefit us. So I really just have to keep that under wraps.
Matt, I think we're all on board with the moves that you have made so far and how they've helped the team, and that's exciting. But the whole fan base is obviously geared towards the two names that we're talking about, Machado and Harper. If you don't get either one of them, what would your reaction be? How would you feel going into the season that you didn't land one of those guys?
Let me back up a little bit. I think this is the God's honest truth. I think in a more typical offseason, not this offseason with 26-year-old free agents out there, but in a normal offseason, I think if spring training started tomorrow, we'd be really happy about our offseason. We ended last year in a tough stretch, obviously, but when we sort of identified goals for the winter, they were to improve the defense, improve the offense, try to combat left-handed hitters, you know, the opposing left-handed hitters, as well as we could. And you know, so what have we done? We added Gene Segura, which is certainly going to improve our offense at shortstop, if not defense. You know, by trading Santana, we shift Hoskins from left field to first, which should make our team defense better. And we replaced the left field spot with Andrew McCutchen, you know, a proven durable player, and offense, defense does it, a little bit of everything. So, then you layer in James Positive's one to kind of feel Jose Alvarez and David Robertson, and all of a sudden your bullpen's pretty improved too. So that's why I say, like, in a typical offseason, I'd be really happy, ready to go. I am kind of ready to go anyway, but I'd be ready to go and get things rolling. And now obviously we're aware that, you know, this is not a typical offseason, and that's why we're still engaged with the guys at the top of the market. But, you know, the one thing we have to always remember, is that this is not the last free agent class of all time. It's a good one. It's an important one. This is an important offseason for our franchise. I don't want to minimize that, but it's not. You have to have some discipline about it too, and because there's going to be really good players next year. There's going to be really good players the following year, and I don't know what holes we're going to have on our roster after 19 or after 2020. But I'm pretty confident there'll be something, because if not, we'd be the first team in history of baseball to enter an offseason with no needs. So we have to make sure that we leave ourselves enough flexibility to pivot in each offseason, and you know, can't put all of our eggs in one basket. Having said all that, we are going to be very aggressive. We know this is an opportunity. We would like to add to this team, make ourselves better. So you know, I don't want to run from your question, but I do want to sort of kind of bring it full circle.
Right, Matt, speaking with Matt Klentak, Phillies GM, and you mentioned being disciplined, and that's definitely something we've heard from fans already throughout the season, the fans that are saying, you know what, still Mike Trout down the line and all that stuff, but when you use the word discipline, it makes me think of what John Middleton had to say just a few months ago with stupid money and all that. I mean, how much pressure does that put on the front office when everybody knows publicly the ownership is willing to foot the bill for whatever you guys are able to do?
Yeah, you know, I don't know that by itself adds pressure. I think there's a, you know, there's a strong desire to win, both, you know, inside the Citizens Bank Park, inside the building, among our ownership, among our players, among our coaches, and among our fans, for sure. So and that's shared by me. That's shared by everybody. So I think we're all pretty aligned in that. Yeah, look, everybody knows, everybody heard the stupid money comment, the agents, players, everybody. So, so, you know, that's, you know, we've had to navigate that, but I think that's good. You know, I kind of joked about it earlier in the off season. We didn't have any trouble getting meetings with agents at the winter meetings. Yeah, everybody's willing to take our phone calls, and that kind of puts us on the map. So I, you know, for whatever challenges that it may have posed for us, it really has also helped us in some regards. So I don't know that added any pressure.
Matt, forgetting who's out there free agent-wise and solely just looking at your team now, where would you like to maybe make it stronger before you headed to spring training?
Yeah, I mean, timing is going to be the tricky thing there, right? I think, as I said earlier, we addressed the areas we needed to address. And boldly, to use a Gabe Kapler word, I think we were pretty aggressive getting out early to add Segura, to add McCutchen, to add Robertson, adding some really good players. So, as I said earlier, I don't want to repeat myself. I think in a normal offseason, this would be a really strong offseason. This would be a really strong offseason for us. We're just, anywhere we can get better, we're going to try to do it. Could we use another middle of the order bat? Absolutely. You know, could we use a top of the rotation starter? Of course, who couldn't use that? So it's really just going to be a matter of timing, years and dollars, what makes sense, balancing the present and the future. And we have the resources. You know, that's never really been in doubt. It's just a matter of whether they're, you know, it's the right player at the right time for the right franchise. And that's what we're trying to line up.
Matt, would you be in favor of maybe in a year or two when the CBA's up, kind of reestablishing some lines here, some deadlines, or some time frames as to when free agents could sign so it doesn't leak into spring training? Like you pointed out earlier, it was March 11th that you guys ended up signing Jake Arrieta.
Yeah. Well, I would. I think the challenge, sort of like the NBA or the NFL, you know, their free agencies last all of a couple of days, and basically, you know, there's a fixed pool of money, and players get it in the first few days, and then it's done. And you know, I think those sports have a more true off season, quote unquote, than baseball does. But you know, the difference between those sports and baseball is those sports have a salary cap, and we don't. So there's a fixed pool of money that can be spent in those sports, and ours, and you know, in theory is has no limits. So I think that's the reason we don't see a deadline in baseball. And I really do think that, you know, at the end of last year, when you kind of just assess the entire offseason, the players, the good players, the guys that, you know, should have gotten paid, they did. You know, it's not everybody got exactly what they were projected, but like the good players got their dough. And I think the same thing is going to happen this year. I really do. The challenge of it is more of a human one, more of a personal one. And it's just, you know, trust me, I would like to have a little bit more of an offseason just for myself personally. I know our front office and the agents, I'm sure, would. And you know who wants it probably more than anybody is the players. It's hard for a player to sit here, you know, on the eve of February not knowing where they're going to spring training. They've got, a lot of these guys have families too. And where am I renting a house? Where am I staying? Who are my teammates? And that can be a hard thing for everybody. It's hard for, you know, you guys on the radio and the writers, they, you know, to cover something that's slow to develop. So I think there's a human element to the pace of the offseason that presents some challenges. I don't know that it's as much an economic challenge as it is a human challenge, but it's something that we do need to face. And trust me, I'd be all for speeding things up, moving them along, getting a little more activity before Christmas as opposed to after. I don't know what'll happen. You read the Ken Rosenthal stuff yesterday. I don't know if you did, but you know that there's some discontent. Mm-hmm. We just have to, you know, we got a few more years still before the CBA's up. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. But I have confidence in our league officials. I have confidence in the union leadership and our players to come to the table and figure out what makes sense. Because in the history of baseball, when we've needed adjustments, we made adjustments, and I'm confident that that'll happen again. You know, I don't know what those adjustments will be.
Gotcha.
But I have confidence that people will get together and try to do the right thing.
Speaking with Phillies general manager Matt Klentak, you mentioned moving the needle. Watching you at the winter meetings, do interviews and whatnot, you talked about moving the needle. You guys have moved the needle a little bit here, obviously, with Segura, possibly even more. Pazos, you mentioned, McCutchen, Robertson, and all that. As of right now, where you stand today, from the team that left the field at 80-82 last season, how much have you moved the needle thus far?
I think we have pretty significantly. I think, looking, 80 wins isn't going to get you to the playoffs. We know that. You know, we were on pace in mid-August to go to the playoffs, so it's not like last year was a disaster. The final few weeks weren't very good, but the body of work over the season was fine. I think two things. Number one, we're not going to add all the wins we need just through outside acquisitions. Now, that does Segura and McCutchen and Robertson and Pazos and Nicasio and Alvarez and anybody else you might add, that's going to help for sure. That's going to contribute to it. But for our team to get where we want to go, it's going to be a combination of the outside additions I just mentioned and our young players continuing to develop, because that's still what drives winning baseball teams is the development of young players. And, you know, what gives me confidence in that area is that we were the youngest team in baseball last year by a pretty significant margin on opening day. And if you look at baseball history and baseball aging curves, what do 24-year-olds do when they turn 25? They tend to get better. What do 25-year-olds do when they turn 26? They tend to get better. 26-year-olds get better when they turn 27. Eventually that starts to peak at, you know, in your late 20s as you approach 30. But we have so many guys on our team, our entire rotation, a bunch of our young position players are in that mid-20s age demographic that really should produce some improvement this year. It doesn't mean every guy will. I'm sure we'll have injuries just like every team will. Somebody will regress. But I think more than likely, a lot of those guys are going to be better than they were last year. And that, coupled with the outside additions that we've made, that's what, you know, gives us hope and confidence that we will, in fact, be competing for a playoff spot next year.
All right, speaking with Matt Klentak, Phillies GM. The other thing here, Matt, is I want to talk about real quick is the manager, Gabe Kapler. And he is always an extremely optimistic guy. And Andy McPhail talked about it at his end of the season press conference. Is he also the type of manager that will, I don't want to use the word reprimand, but a type of guy that will be a little bit more intense with a player behind the scenes than anything he might say or not say during a press conference?
Intensity is not a problem for Kapler.
Right.
He is as intense an individual as I've ever worked with. And yes, Cap, you probably know this. He is very direct. If he sees something, he says it. If it's good, he'll say it. If he needs to address something with a player, he doesn't beat around the bush. He comes at them and is very direct. He's not rude. He's not yelling and screaming. I mean, I think he'll tell you that. That's not his preferred style. But if somebody screws up, he's going to call them in and he's going to talk to them about it. And he's not going to take that public. He's not going to embarrass the player, because I think Cap knows, I don't want to speak for him too much, but I think he knows that, you know, one of the best things we have going right now is our clubhouse culture. We've got a lot of dudes who really believe in each other, enjoy playing the game, enjoy each other's company. It's to be around, you know, a group of guys for 7.5 months with very few off days poses a lot of challenges, and maintaining peace and order and structure and harmony is, you know, probably among the, you know, the number one goals and challenges for any manager. And I think Cap does a really good job with that. Our players are really happy. They're really comfortable. He pays attention to them. He communicates with them. And when he needs to, he gets in their face and tells them we need to be better than that. And I don't, you know, I hate to single out players, but I'll do it. At the end of last year, we sat down with Odubel Herrera. I happen to be in on these meetings too, but we sat down with Odubel and said, what happened this year with the shape you came into camp? That cannot happen again. You have to take this seriously and be better. And you know what Odubel has done all offseason? Is he has worked his butt off in Miami with personal trainers. He's kept in touch with our strength group and our coaching staff all winter. And he reported to Clearwater right after New Year's. And he's been there already for about a month. Getting ready, and we're seeing highlights of him in the cages and in the weight room every day. That's Cap's leadership style. He addresses it, he gets his point across, and he gets results. And sometimes it's not going to be public. And I know that that presents a challenge to our fans who want to see the anger, the emotion. They want to see somebody flip their lid every once in a while. I get that. You know, and Cap may get there too. There's a lot of pressure to be in the major league manager. You might see that at some point, but I think his resting position is to handle things behind closed doors, but I assure you and all of our fans, the intensity, the passion, and the, you know, his willingness to challenge people, challenge players, that is not an issue. He is very good at those things.
Matt, Scott Kingery was kind of the talk coming out of spring training last season and built up a lot of excitement here in Philadelphia and then seemed a little bit overmatched in his, you know, first full season. One, what was your assessment of him last year? And two, what do you think we can see out of him this year?
I think your assessment was right on the money. I mean, this guy is as talented, athletic as anybody we have, and he has kicked ass in a couple consecutive spring trainings. He's kind of blown through the minor leagues. He really accomplished everything he needed to accomplish, which is why we were, you know, excited to put him on the opening day roster last year and sign him to that contract. So I think he's not the first player to come up to the big leagues and struggle, especially offensively, as he adjusts to a new lead. If you look at Scott Kingery's performance in the minor leagues, it's actually been pretty common that as he reached a new level, whether that was AA or AAA, he struggled at first, then he got his feet wet, he got comfortable, and then he started to dominate. And I think that there's some expectation on our end that he may do that this year. He had a full year in the big leagues, somewhat of a trial by fire. All of a sudden he woke up and mid-spring after Crawford got hurt, and he's our everyday shortstop. He hadn't played shortstop since high school. So it was a little rocky for him in the early going. He had to learn how to play on the other side of the bag. And then by the time we reached, maybe the All-Star break, and for most of the second half, he was as good a defender at short as there was in the league. So again, I think it's just an example of a guy needing to get his feet wet at the big league level and learn. I trust the makeup of the player. I trust the athleticism of the player. I trust the baseball instincts of the player. All the reasons we, you know, loved him a year ago, we still do, and we're excited to see what he can do in his second full year.
All right, we're just going to toss something to you real quick, just off the board. You know, that's just going to be a little strange, all right? So just bear with me. We were talking about this earlier today. Commando, yay or nay? Going Commando, yay or nay? What's your take on that?
I'm pro Commando if that's your thing, but that ain't my thing.
I think. All right, man. Cool.
Matt, I don't know how to follow that question, but two last things for you. One, Jimmy Rollins, what role are you expecting him to have in the front office now?
Yeah, Jimmy's awesome. So I think, you know, we made and you guys know this, and the fans know it better than I do. You guys, you know, watched him for years. But I just love having Jimmy's energy around, and I don't know how much he'll be around day to day, but and every time he's in town, it just puts a smile on your face, and he brings that confidence to whatever he's doing. We had him up, this was, 2 weeks ago now. We bring 10 or 12 of our better minor league prospects into Philadelphia for a week of training and just exposing them to kind of the Citizens Bank Park, the city of Philadelphia, the major league lifestyle, and it's kind of an acclimation process for them, anticipating their major league debuts. Anyway, we had one of the sessions that we exposed our players to was Jimmy, and we had him come out here and sit with the players. He and Larry Bowa, two of the greatest, probably the two greatest shortstops in the history of the franchise, to talk about what it means to play here. And you can't help when you listen to Jimmy and his stories, and you kind of can't help but get excited. And the interesting thing is Jimmy can talk about, you know, the good and the bad, right? Jimmy had some times in his career where, you know, he was benched for lack of hustle or whatever it was. He was also the guy that had 700 plate appearances, played 162 games a year in the best era this franchise has ever had, in front of packed houses every night where the energy was crazy. And he can talk about that. So he can really, you know, talk to young players about what it's like to both succeed and fail in Philadelphia, succeed and fail in Philadelphia in a way that not a lot of other guys can. And I think he's going to be great. He's just going to join us in spring training for, I don't know, a week or so. He'll be in uniform on the field. And, you know, what you saw as Jimmy as a player is kind of what you see in Jimmy now. He's great. So we're really happy.
I'm sure a former teammate of his was on with us yesterday, Ryan Howard, and he revealed a nickname for John Middleton. Have you ever referred to John Middleton as Jay Middles?
No. Okay. Nor have I heard that, but if I'm being perfectly honest, even if I had heard that, I don't think I would call John that.
Okay, just making sure.
Good move by you, Matt.
And then last one for you, and Matt, to circle back real quick for anyone that might just be joining us, and I appreciate you giving us all the time you have. Are the people that say the Phillies could walk away with both Manny Machado and Bryce Harper, are those people crazy?
You shouldn't end the segment with me letting people down.
Okay, all right.
Well, then don't let us down, Matt. There it is.
Look, I don't. Is it impossible? No, I think it's very unlikely. I've kind of said that on the record or off the record most of the offseason. It's not about a player wanting a player or not wanting a player. It is about managing payrolls and managing the franchise to allow ourselves to have opportunities to improve the club in future years. And, you know, the more money you have locked up in just a few players, the less likely, the less ability you're going to have over time to do things like that. So I just don't know that that's the prudent course of action for us. It's not because we're cheap. It's not because we don't like the players.
Right.
It's just because of sort of the dynamics of roster building and payroll building. So, I don't know. I hope that's not too big a
No, Matt, all I heard you say...
We've been pretty upfront about that all winter.
Yeah, no, Matt, all I heard you say was it's not impossible.
Yeah, that's it.
All I heard you was, hey, we got a chance.
There it is.
Well, it sounds like it's you guys have made your pitches, and it's kind of in their hands right now, and I know you guys will do whatever it takes to get at least one of those guys. So we appreciate you joining us, Matt, and giving us all the time you did. Good luck with the rest of the offseason, and once again, thanks for coming on.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.